Why do some people feel perpetually exhausted by others' demands while simultaneously guilty for disappointing everyone? The answer lies in understanding boundaries, the invisible property lines that define where you end and others begin. Think of your life as a house. Without clear boundaries, people wander in and out at will, rearranging your furniture, eating your food, and leaving their mess for you to clean. With boundaries, you decide who enters, what they can touch, and when it's time for them to leave. This isn't selfishness, it's stewardship. Your feelings, attitudes, behaviors, choices, values, limits, talents, thoughts, and capacity to love all exist within your boundaries. You're responsible for managing these treasures, not for carrying everyone else's burdens. When a neighbor's dog keeps digging up your garden, you don't feel guilty about building a fence. Yet many people spend their lives as emotional gardeners, tending everyone else's yards while their own gardens wither from neglect. Boundary problems wear recognizable masks. Compliants say yes to everything, their boundaries so fuzzy they melt into others' demands like sugar in rain. They fear hurting feelings, abandonment, anger, or being labeled selfish. Their no muscles have atrophied from disuse. Avoidants build walls instead of fences. They can't ask for help because they've confused protection with isolation. Some people are both. Compliant avoidants who say yes to harm and no to good, creating reversed boundaries that drain them dry. Controllers can't respect others' limits, viewing no as merely an opening negotiation. They resist responsibility for their own lives, preferring to manipulate others into carrying burdens that should be theirs alone. Non-responsives neglect their duty to care for others, either criticizing needs or becoming so self-absorbed they exclude everyone. These patterns often pair up. Controlling non-responsives marry compliant avoidance, one seeking someone to fix them, the other looking for someone to keep them from growing up. Recognizing your pattern is the first step toward change. Your boundary capacity was largely determined before you could walk. During the first months of life, consistent, warm responses from caregivers create emotional object constancy, an internal sense of safety that persists even when alone. Without this foundation, you face an impossible choice: set limits and risk losing relationships, or remain imprisoned by others' wishes. As secure attachment develops, children need autonomy. From 10 to 18 months, toddlers entered the practicing phase, feeling omnipotent as they explore their expanding world. Then comes the critical rapprochement phase, 18 to 36 months, when children realize they're not all powerful and need their parents. This creates anxiety. Can I be both connected and separate, both dependent and independent? Boundary injuries occur when parents withdraw emotionally from children who disagree with them or respond with hostility to growing independence. The child learns a devastating lesson: suppress your separate, truth-telling self to maintain the relationship. Years later, these children become adults who can't say no without crippling guilt, who feel responsible for everyone's emotions, who've spent decades tending others' gardens while their own souls starve. Just as gravity governs the physical world, spiritual principles govern relationships. The law of sowing and reaping states that actions have consequences, but this natural order breaks when people without boundaries rescue others from their own choices. The rescuer suffers while the irresponsible person continues unchecked. The law of respect recognizes that freedom begets freedom. When you respect others' boundaries, they're more likely to respect yours. The law of motivation insists that freedom must precede service. Giving from fear of abandonment, anger, or guilt breeds resentment, not joy. The law of evaluation requires distinguishing between hurt and harm. Like a dentist causing pain to heal a cavity, good boundaries may cause temporary discomfort but prevent long-term destruction. The law of proactivity moves beyond reactive boundaries, "I hate this," to proactive ones that express what you love and stand for. The law of envy focuses you on your own responsibilities rather than comparing yourself to others. The law of activity recognizes that healthy boundaries require initiative. God's grace covers failure, but cannot compensate for passivity. The law of exposure demands that boundaries be visible and communicated. Secret boundaries keep your personality fragmented and prevent healing. Many Christians believe harmful myths about boundaries. If I set boundaries, I'm selfish, confuses stewardship with self-centeredness. But appropriate limits actually increase your capacity to genuinely care for others. Boundaries signal disobedience, misses the irony. People with weak boundaries are often outwardly compliant, but inwardly rebellious and resentful. When your lips say yes while your heart screams no, you're essentially lying. If I set boundaries, I'll be hurt, acknowledges a real risk. Some people will react negatively, but God never gave you power to control others' responses. Boundaries will hurt others, mistakes defensive tools for offensive weapons. Appropriate limits don't attack anyone, they simply protect your resources from being taken at the wrong time. Boundaries mean I'm angry, reverses cause and effect. Boundaries don't create anger, they reveal it. Anger functions as an early warning system signaling violations. When others set boundaries, it injures me, reveals your own boundary problems. Perhaps you've made that person your primary emotional source or struggle taking responsibility for yourself. Understanding these myths is crucial because they keep you imprisoned in patterns that drain your life force while convincing you that escape would be sinful. Boundary development follows a predictable path. Resentment and anger arrive first, your internal alarm system finally waking up after years of being silenced. Like someone who suddenly realizes their friend's jokes have always been cruel, you begin noticing violations you once tolerated. This anger isn't the destination, it's the starting point. Next, you're drawn to people who respect your limits rather than those who bulldoze them. You need community, relationships with others who share biblical values of responsibility and limit setting. You can't do this alone. Small steps matter more than dramatic confrontations. Telling someone they always take the good chair might seem trivial, but for someone raised by guilt-inducing parents, it's monumental. Paradoxically, intense self-condemnation often signals progress. Your internal critic protests when you challenge its unrealistic demands. With time and support, this harsh guilt diminishes. You begin respecting others' boundaries as much as your own, confronting your selfishness and developing genuine empathy. Eventually, your no becomes as free as your yes. You make promises you can fulfill gladly or don't promise at all. Mature boundaries enable proactive control over life. You're not frantic or hurried, you plan ahead and steadily move toward personal goals. Though life brings trials, you anticipate resistance and keep your no ready, not to attack others, but to protect the time, talents, and treasures God entrusted to you. You finally learned the truth. To reclaim your boundaries is to reclaim your life.